Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
Yes.
Have you started your spring cleaning yet? Yeah, well, the carpets need cleaning, the drapes need dusting, your lawn needs mowing. Spring has sprung and the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming have the best tools for cleaning aisle 5 in your pants. Time to clear out your winter bush and join the other 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100. So we're big fans of Manscaped, and like you said, we'd never, you know, promote a product here that we don't use. And Manscaped has the full package you need for spring cleaning this year. The Performance Package 4.0 is the only tool you need to keep your boys looking and smelling like the fresh tulips your partner wants. To start off your spring cleaning, use the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer to get the most precise shave on your hedges. Did we mention it's waterproof as well? No need to worry about watering your grass with this tool, equipped with an LED light, so you know it'll be a major asset to the new shower routine. Clear your holes and smell the spring air with the Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provided proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. After cleaning your nose, make sure to get rid of that foul ball smell with the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. And keep your boys from sticking to your leg and leave them smelling fresh like flowers. Finish off your grooming routine with the Plow 2.0. It's the perfect razor for the finest shave on your face. Because if you're using your Lawnmower 4.0 on your balls and your face, you're doing it wrong, boys. So yeah, you don't want to use the same cutter razor on the face. Right, right.
No.
The start of spring also marks the start of Testicular Cancer Awareness Month in April. Manscaped has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection. Manscaped is committed to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men aged 15 to 35 and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as part of the We Save Balls initiative. Smell oh so fresh and oh so clean this spring. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. And it's time to throw out your old hygiene habits and upgrade your life.
Bro, Manscaped, obviously, that's our best-selling product. That's something we all use. And the great thing about this, and I don't know why they don't advertise it, you can use it for your chest, you can use it for your head, you can use it for your face, under your arms. So it's for men and women. You know, everybody shaves except German women, nothing, boom. And the great thing about this, it comes with so many extra things, like this really sweet boxers, very light. I was wondering the other day, because I was looking at it, why the blades don't cut you. And it's because they're made out of ceramic. And it has like, it's waterproof. It's waterproof. It has like a wireless charging thing. Then it also brings a weed whacker, which is a nose ear hair trimmer. It has a leather bag, which is very nice leather. Nothing here is cheap. Everything's very nicely done. Then it also comes with a newspaper. The last time they sent me the newspaper, it said on it, "We save balls." And it has funny little, like funny little stories and stuff.
The foot duster too. They have the foot spray for your, you know, feet, shoes and socks. Keep that smelling good as well.
Yeah, and a pedicure kit too. Yeah. So, you know, check them out, bro. I mean, great product we all use every single day. And so keep your shit groomed, keep your shit clean at Manscaped. Boom.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, 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 bang. Don't say nothing. Bang, 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 bang. We be dumping. Bang, 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 bang. Just act like you know, and homie, stop rocking through stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's and the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. Heat up and the feet up, creased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop, straight boosting. To all my hand down in quiet.
Jason, let me ask you a question. When you, because here's the thing, I always tell everybody this in the show. During WrestleMania, I was watching the shows. I'd watch Raw, you know, from start to finish. I'd have off my night. But I always told people, like, how do you watch wrestling? It's like, I can't watch 3 hours. What I do is plus we're on the West Coast, which kind of stinks because, like, it's very difficult to be a fan and have internet and, you know,
read spoilers.
Anything to happen.
Oh, I imagine, yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah. But I always told everybody, this is how I watch the shows. I tape them. I read Jason Powell's review of the show and stuff that looks good, like that sounds interesting. I go back and I watch that stuff, and like your review serves as a map, so I can get through the show in like 20-30 minutes instead of having to watch it for 3 hours. You know, and I was like, put that over, because I think I like your reviews better than like these other guys out there and stuff. That it was funny too, because I remember Eric Bischoff had put you over one time. As like, because, you know, Eric Bischoff's always at war with the Dirt Sheets and Meltzer and stuff and all that and stuff. But he always said, I'm a fan of Jason Powell because you really don't extend your editorial privilege that much. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not super opinionated on things. And like, you know, because like a lot of these guys that do this, that do what you do, it's kind of like they get a little bit full of themselves sometimes.
Tell him what his mentor, Wade Keller, does, which I haven't heard. I heard for the first time Sunday, and it was hilarious.
So Wade, bro, like when Wade does it, you listen to Wade's show, right?
Oh yeah.
When he does these things where he's cutting, I mean, bro, when Wade's cutting the promos for the wrestlers,
that's brutal.
I'm like, come on. I'm like, you know, I'm like, you honestly can't think that like a lot of these guys should go out there and say stuff like that, because he's got a very pointed way he looks at this business. You know, it should be about wins and all, you know, stuff. And I'm like, God, man, it's like, you know, sometimes I think it's funny when I hear some of the stuff he says. Well, what do you think about like Wade's take on the business, like compared to yours and ours?
I mean, Wade is a mentor. And so basically everything I've learned about, well, not everything, because I also worked at fanball.com and learned a lot there as well, just covering fantasy football and fantasy hockey. But as far as the opinionated stuff is concerned, we don't agree on everything, but I do think it's rare to find us disagreeing strongly about something. I think he gets very passionate on issues like Saudi Arabia, WWE going there.
Right.
And there's, you know, there's other examples of things that I may feel similar, but I kind of make my point and move on, where Wade, you know, once he digs his heels in, look out.
Yeah.
Right. Well, my whole thing was like, I heard him cutting promos for wrestlers, and I was, you need to give that job up.
because no wrestler's going to talk like that. Right. And if he wrote that for me, he'd get a fucking tongue lash. You know what I'm saying?
I always try, you know, because I'll catch myself doing that. Like, I would have said this instead, and I'll always try to point out, but I'm sure they could put it in much better words than I can.
What are you doing with fantasy football now? Are you still doing anything or just in a league? Do you do right?
Just playing in like five leagues and not this job just keeps me too damn busy. I wish I had more time for it because I definitely love fantasy sports.
What writing took more of your time when you were writing for fantasy football, writing for PW.net?
Writing for ProWrestling.net does. And writing for Fanball.com was, I mean, we put a lot of hours in, 6 days a week in the office and a lot of work at home as well. But when I started doing .net, it was comparable, you know, and because I'm my own boss, so I'm making my own hours. But now you have so many different television shows to keep up on. I can't keep up on everything, but I mean, obviously Raw, SmackDown, Impact, MLW.
Let me ask you a question. This is probably the biggest problem that you have. Is that when fantasy football, yeah, we're all the same. Football season comes around. And it's like my life centers around the months that football is not going on and the months that it is.
Exactly.
So the months that it is going on, I'm a vet. So, but it's a season. You know what I'm saying? Wrestling is kind of like you have to write about this year round. You know, football comes around a couple months before the season. You start doing your research. And then you're invested in and then it's over and you can take a break. You know what I'm saying? So you can't wait for the next season to come around. You know what I'm saying?
Watch the XFL.
Right. but wrestling is like, bro, it's like when it's not good and it's like not good for a long time sometimes, it's like, dude, it's like I don't know how you guys can write about this product sometimes when like, you know, when sometimes it's bad for a long time. You know, and you as a fan, you kind of like get in the thing where like, God, this isn't good. I have to watch.
You know what it is? It's almost like a football team. You know, even if you're a diehard fan, even if they suck, you have to ride with them until they get better. You know what I'm saying?
It's not even when it's bad, because when it's bad, you can have a lot of fun with that. You know, and you can also offer a lot of suggestions. Here's what I would do, that sort of thing. The worst shows for me are the ones that are just kind of in the middle. You know, there's not much to pick apart. They just kind of happen and you move on with your days. Those are the tough ones.
You know, the funny thing to me, like you brought up the point earlier, how like you get invested in the characters and stuff and all that. What did you think about the way they brought up like these NXT guys and just threw them on the show with like, because I don't watch NXT. So like when they threw Ricochet and Aleister Black and stuff on the show and they just stuck them out there and they just went to work and wrestled. And the next week they went to work and wrestled. And then they cut a promo in the back, talk about their match. It's like I still don't like know anything about these guys.
No, I hated it. I mean, Aleister Black, his character is that he's a dark loner. So they bring him up in a fucking tag team. Right. Are you kidding me?
he has no history with. They don't really have a lot of chemistry. There's no backstory why they're fucking together. If you didn't watch NXT or you weren't a hardcore fan, you would have no idea that Ricochet is the greatest high flyer since Rey Mysterio. And then on top of that, they always give the hot tag to Aleister Black. Why is it Ricochet? You know, it is so
I did notice that, but you're right.
The only thing we know about Ricochet is that he's from Kentucky. I mean, seriously, they haven't told us anything. Look at what they did to Bayley. And fans who do watch a lot of NXT, not all of them, but some of them, have a hard time wrapping their minds around what a different world it is when you're called up to the main roster.
She was super over.
Oh, my God. And they wouldn't reset her. They just called her up her character's chewing gum, and she has all the confidence in the world. I'm like, that's not how you introduce Bayley. She's sheepish. She's intimidated. And people would fight back on it going, no, we saw that in NXT. She's beyond that. It's like, this is a different world. You hit the reset button. And with her, it was so easy. You just say, if you need to explain it to the NXT fans, you say it's like being called up from the minor leagues to the big leagues. So all of her insecurities came back. They didn't do it. And it's been a disaster.
Bro, do you think that the fact that they're stuck in that bubble, like you know, I always call it the wrestling bubble, but the WWE has their own bubble. Do you think that the WWE is like completely just misinterpreted, that they actually think that everybody watches all of their programming?
No, I don't. I really think it would be different if Paul Levesque were running the show. I don't think Vince McMahon pays any attention to NXT. I think he goes to the show
or
once a year.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think he cares about it. Hunter's talked about that in the conference calls. My understanding is and I don't know that he's brought this up, but if they have somebody that they want Vince to look at, they have to kind of put together a video for him. And so he doesn't understand these characters at all.
Well, here's the thing. And from knowing Russo all these years and working for Eric Bischoff, that's just a symptom of the boss has. All they really care about is the top guys. Cared about was the top guys.
Right.
Vince McMahon, even during this rise of Stone Cold, that Russo had said, they walk into me and Vince would, the first thing Vince asked, what's Austin doing this week?
Right.
All he really cared about was the top angles, you know. So it's like, you know, that's maybe like a
right. And to me, and everywhere I work, that seems to be the same case too. But at the same time, you've got to make them understand we've got to have guys for the future in case somebody leaves and take somebody gets injured, and you know what I'm saying? You've always got to have people making new people. You just can't worry about the top guys.
Here's the thing too, and I said this, and you know, I've argued this with people, and that if you look back to the rise of Daniel Bryan, okay, who was probably like, you know, Punk was an anomaly, but Daniel Bryan was really an anomaly, okay, because Daniel Bryan, like nobody, you know, Vince is the last guy, he would look at that guy in the roster and go, well, why is that guy working for me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That what got Daniel Bryan over and pushed him up to the next level, even though they were corny, okay, is when they were doing the anger management training vignettes, okay? And because what it did was, here was him every week telling basically a psychiatrist, a group therapy, all about things about it, what, his character. You know, this is how I feel. This is like, these are all things about my character. And they did like a 4-week push of just, you know, these, even though they were silly, it was still as
character development
that they've done for like any character in a long time. And I'm like, guys, why can't you look at that and not see that, like, you know, that is how you develop characters, by getting people to care about the things that they think and care. You know, like, I just don't get how they haven't.
Bro, they used to be the best at that.
They were. All those great vignettes they used to do, like Razor and Perfect and all those. God, they were good.
Right. Yeah. By the time Razor came on stage, you know, when he finally made his debut, you knew what he was about. You know, and he was already cool before he got into the ring. Carlito was the same way. Remember with the apple? Right. And you know, it's just ridiculous. I just get, they're just such a big monster with so many moving parts and so many things to do that a lot of shit gets, you know, lost in the shuffle. But they have, they seem to have lost their way, but they did do something that I'm finally glad they did. This WrestleMania, more than any other WrestleMania that I can remember, maybe going back to when Eddie and Benoit both won, they listened to the fans.
They did, finally.
And look at how happy the fans were.
For one night. Then all they had to do is just, you know, let's screw up the end of Raw and just, like, you know, it's like,
that was brutal. Yeah. That was like, fucking brutal. And I thought
for one day and it was great. Now it's like, oh my God, it's like, it's unbelievable. It's like, I've told Conan this, you know, anybody that's been on the show, that the one thing that they have shown that they've done very well and are very skilled at the past 5 or 6 years is push somebody to a point to just bury him. They've become very skilled at just taking a guy and just chopping his legs off instantly and just plummeting his stock and having to keep building the guy back up again. And to see them do, like,
give me an example.
Strowman.
Braun Strowman's rise was the type of push you would give a guy that was supposed to win the title.
Right.
Okay. And they pushed him. He's turning ambulances over. He's beating up Roman Reigns, whose yard it is, everything. And then he goes against Brock, you know, because Brock doesn't really have any wrestle, and he just beats him clean with one F5. And all of a sudden, it's like,
you had to say somebody kicking out of the F5 for Roman. I mean, so much, they wasted so many good baby faces, all because they were so obsessed with saving, you know, everything for Roman Reigns. I mean, just bringing Seth Rollins back as a heel when everybody wanted to cheer him. It was Triple H coming back as a babyface all over again. But, oh, we need somebody to feud with Roman. Let's bring Seth back as a heel.
Yeah.
It's like you're looking at Drew McIntyre, and I'm going, guys, push this guy. Keep pushing. Don't take steps backwards. Keep putting. It's like, Jesus.
You know, here's another guy that. Here's another.
They shouldn't take the steps backwards.
Here is another guy they got hot, real hot, that people actually hated him, and then he just disappeared. What was the Indian guy?
Jinder.
He had real heat, bro.
I think some of it was great. Yeah, I think a little of it was go-away heat, but I hated that he went from WWE champion to nothing. It should have been a little bit more of a graceful fall. You still could have gotten something out of Jinder, the foreign menace, being the U.S. champion.
They didn't like him. Even if it was go-away heat, they didn't like him. People were reacting to him. It's better than indifference. You know what I'm saying?
He wasn't ready to be WWE champion. He easily could have been an effective U.S. champion.
Right.
And
a good heel that an up-and-coming babyface goes through before he gets to the championship.
Yeah, you get nothing out of it. They try to make it seem like a big, he just pinned a former WWE champion. Everybody's like, it's Jinder Mahal. It doesn't mean anything.
They wanted another guy that they pushed, and then they just stopped. Bro, there was a time, and I was not a big fan of his, when Ryback was an over motherfucker, remember?
Yeah.
And he should have beaten in that match. I don't know if it was Punk or Cena, and they didn't pull the trigger. Bray Wyatt was super over. What's happened to him? You know what? There's so many people. Bayley, that's another one that she was so over, and then they stopped. Sasha, she was so over, and then they put her against Bayley, and then they teased it, and then they like mean. You know what I'm saying?
I think what it all comes down to is that we probably don't know this, but all that show and the decisions they make on that show and the incorrect decision, whatever decision was made, was done through the prisms of Vince McMahon's eyes. That, like, we may be seeing something. We may see, hey, this person's getting, this person's over, this. But if Vince McMahon did not see that, it's like, this is what happens.
Everything else is irrelevant.
Right. Just like, it's like they push the guys that Vince McMahon likes.
Right.
And if he doesn't like a character, like if a room of 20 people like somebody and Vince doesn't like them, that character's screwed.
Right.
You know, and like, and the thing is, I think what's happened to Vince as he's gotten older and as he's seen kind of like, you know, like when he sees the ratings go down, he looks at his locker room and like he looks at the like time when it was popular, had a lot of bigger guys, and he looks and sees a lot of small guys. And I just wonder if like he sits there and says, like, wow, I just, you know, just without really looking at their talent or anything, he just looks at their roster as kind of like compared to the in the past as kind of very generic looking. So it's like the funniest thing to me is that like how the boys, like when Vince tells people go out and grab the brass ring, I think he's saying, hey, if you think you can get over, go out there and try it. Grab the brass ring. Show me some balls, you know?
But there's so many limitations. Like, go out and get yourself over. Here's your script.
Here's the thing. But I think you have to, as a performer, sometimes you have to take that risk. That you have to just say, hey, you got a live mic sometimes. I'm confident that I'm going to say something that's going to get over. It might not be what they told me, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it because I think it's going to get a pop. And then if it gets the pop, I can go back in that thing and say, hey, that, and they'll probably say, hey, that got over.
Hey, you know? Maybe you'll get more of that with All Elite being around, where guys and women will be more willing to take a chance because they have leverage finally.
Well, here's my thing. What if the performers deep down do not feel confident enough themselves to go out and do that? What if they've kind of like been beaten down all this time? Like they do jobs all the time. They don't really get the office doesn't give nothing, that they're kind of like, you know, as performers, they've kind of lost their confidence.
Sure. What do you do? It could be game changing. If All Elite gets, you know, it's as big of a deal as we think it's going to be, that is going to give more people leverage, and that will lead to more people. Maybe they're not going to go on the air and say something that's not in the script, but they're going to push a little more behind the scenes. I mean, we've heard the Revival ask for their releases not that long ago and all of that. So I think you will start to see people kind of just taking more ownership of their career, where before it was, okay, I don't want to rock the boat because there's nowhere else for me to go to make this kind of money.
Here's one thing that I think they are going to do, and we've seen like an Impact, we do this a lot, and MLW too. But I think that we're seeing, and now in WrestleMania, seeing all these different shows, you know, one was thrown by Josh Barnett, one by Joey Janela, one by Joey Ryan. I think you're going to see a lot of the wrestlers being able to be their own, doing their own creative content, because let's face it, most of the wrestlers come up with their gimmicks anyway, so who's going to know better than them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be really cool to see, because they're saying they're not going to have any writers.
Yeah, know, and Bloodsport was an eye opener, man.
Yeah, you know, bro. Let me tell you that's the whole thing. I've argued this with Russo before, and just anybody's like this whole thing about writer and booker. It's like, bro, that's the same job. It's like when you go to a show, the person that you go to get your finish from, or the person that figured out what your finish was, the show, you could call whatever you want, that whether it be the booker, the writer, whoever.
Yeah.
But they're doing the same job. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when they say that they're not going to have writers, it's like I don't look at that as a negative, because like what do you need? Like a person that's written TV before, like actually, you know, or do you just need like who's the person that's going to be putting pen to paper and deciding who's going to do the finishes for the show?
Because see, I think that will be there. What I think I'm guessing on this is that I don't think they want to do a lot of scripted promos. And so I think it's more – they're saying no writers. I think it will be more old-school booker who's going over. But here's your bullet points. Go out there and do your thing.
Yeah, right. Well, here's the thing. Here's the biggest fallacy.
Yeah.
Bro, here's the thing everybody keeps saying in professional wrestling. It's like, oh, you don't need writers. Don't need writers. It's like, no, you could use some good writers. It's like what you don't need is bad writers.
Yeah,
it's like what bad writing is, what you see when a wrestler delivers a promo that stinks and does nothing for his character and ends up burying the guy because it was so atrocious. That's bad writing. But what if the writer wrote a good promo and the guy went out there and delivered it? It's like it's a kid that said, like, you know, that's what wrestling's missing. Good writing.
You definitely need somebody back there to be central nervous system, you know, for a TV taping, you know, who's doing a run-in, what promos, or, you know, somebody's got to be able to do that and format it and put it together. You just can't go to talent and go, hey, what do you want to do? But it'll be interesting to see how they do it. Huh?
Well, dude, you see, in professional wrestling, they even in the WWE, some of the best promos that guys have cut in the past couple of years have been on their cell phones in their cars. You know, just driving down the road and cut a promo thing and they put it on Twitter.
Yeah, because like you said, they know their characters. They know what they want those characters to say more so than an army of writers who are, you know, might be assigned to you for the day than they're going to. I look forward to that. I mean, that's the wrestling we grew up on, and it was sink or swim. If you weren't a good promo, okay, sorry, this business isn't for you.
Right, because the promo was to make money, pay money to go see you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Bro, this is the thing, and this is what nobody, you know, I've said this all along, okay, is a five-star match has never drawn a dime, ever, in the history of professional wrestling, because all the dimes were drawn before the match took place. You know, so drawing the dimes is, if you're talking about drawing dimes, you got to draw the dimes. And that's done with your promos. You know, you can go have a great match, but it's like, you know, that the great match is just a bonus for the fans that all came to see you because you already drew.
I agree on the major league level, but when you get into independent wrestling, it's a little bit different just because you don't always have that outlet for the promos and things. And it is indie wrestling. I mean, there's various companies doing different things, but by and large, for a while there, indie wrestling was about who could have the best matches. And sometimes to the detriment of the card, every match in the card would be trying to steal it. But, you know, you could add, because there was buzz about filling the wrestler who was a hot name, having good matches on the indie scene. And somebody may not have seen that person. They may not have ever heard that person cut a promo. But if that person's booked against another indie darling, well, at the indie level, that's going to draw.
Right. But then you go, you look at a guy like Kevin Cross, and you go on his YouTube page and the promos, the videos that he's cutting on his own. And you go like, wow, I want to go see this guy.
That guy's a star too, man. I'm telling you, that Bloodsport show was such an eye opener, and I knew Cross was good, but he worked.
What did you think about the commentating by your other mentor, KG?
Kevin Gildas. You know, I was wondering who the hell it was. The way Fight TV works, like once the show starts, then you log on, right? And so I'm guessing they introduced themselves at the top of the show. They never said their names again. So I didn't even know who the hell it was. Yeah, they did do a good job.
No, they didn't. Kevin Pennywise Gill got destroyed for not knowing or what he was talking about.
Look at my shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess
that shirt is hideous.
I got my Kevin Gill shirt on because these guys hate Gill. And so it's unbelievable how our fan base that listens to the show absolutely despise that guy. It's unbelievable. I got along with him. You know, Conan didn't joke, but our fans can't stand him. It's unbelievable. It's weird. I think it's
very condescending snowflake. That's why.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, watch Bloodsport if you get a chance. It was cool. I just went in. I kind of knew the basics of the gimmicks. Or just the idea that, okay, there's not going to be ropes, which I was going, this might not be for me if it's a bunch of grappling. But I know it was more MMA-like, where they're, you know, I mean, they're laying stuff in. And I thought...
And the people Davey were Boy really Smith, into it.
They were.
The people really... No, Davey Boy Smith is a stud,
bro. He killed it. Yeah, him and Cross just had this war with each other. And I, you know, I like Davey MLW. This was different, Davey.
Yeah, those hard slaps at the end between them.
Jesus.
So hey, you did see it. Did you like Bloodsport as well?
Well, I was in the dressing room in MLW, and I think maybe Tom Lawler had it on. And so we were all watching it on a monitor, you know?
I see.
Yeah, yeah. All right. What about your last thing, Minnesota Twins? I know you're huge baseball fans.
I'm a huge Minnesota Twins fan. Start asking me questions about any other team, and I'm just that guy that gets lost. 162 games, a long time. So I'm a bigger hockey fan. Looking forward to the Bruins firing up for the playoffs here. The Wild once again let me down, and definitely a huge football fan. But
you're not happy you got Nelson Cruz.
No, I am. And it's funny because when I looked at the lineup, because they've had a lot of turnover. They got rid of my guy Dozier and some other players. And like, who the fuck are these guys? It was one of those moments.
Right.
And they're off to a great start. They're playing really good ball. And it sounds like the talking heads are saying, look out for this team. You know, they may not win at all, but they're going to be competitive.
What happened with this guy? I heard so many good things about him. I'm sure you did, too. And he's like batting ninth, Buxton.
He just can't hit. And he can't stay healthy. Like anytime he starts to show like a little bit like, hey, maybe the bat's coming around, he gets hurt. But he's, I mean, the fastest guy, lightning quick, just great defensively, but he just hasn't lived up to the potential at the plate yet.
Yeah.
Jason, before we go, give me a couple sleepers and a couple busts for this year in fantasy football.
Oh, shit. Too soon, man.
It is too soon. Well, give me this. Okay. It's not too soon for this. Give me a basic, simplified projection of Baker Mayfield's stats this year.
Baker Mayfield. That is a tough one. I'm going to be a little gun-shy. I think there's going to be so much buzz surrounding the Browns. Here's why. New offensive coordinator, new head coach. Can that young head coach, the new head coach, manage all those big egos? Because Baker has one, and we know Odell Beckham Jr. has one. I mean, I think he's going to be good. I wonder, you know, I don't want to be that guy at the draft taking him, reaching for him when there's really good quarterbacks available that are comparable that you know are going to be good. Just because there's so much hype around the Browns, I think they're all going to be taken off the board probably earlier than I want to anyway.
Okay, are you getting buyer's remorse on Kirk Cousins?
Ask me about 8 weeks into the season. I certainly had it last year, but I also, you know, I watched all those games. It's hard to play the quarterback position when you have no offensive line whatsoever. They were terrible.
I agree with that, but I'll be, I mean, let's be honest, though. Was he, for the money that they gave him, was it, you know, was his skill level that much above Case Keenum for that amount of money? And then based on the stats that you got out of the guy, was it really worth it? I don't know.
Watch the first half of the season. Yes. He was much better. And I like Case a lot.
Didn't Cousins throw for like over 4,000 yards?
Yeah, but he's going
to. His stats look nice. Yeah. That's the thing. Like his stats look good. It's the in game. And just, I mean, as the season went on and the line got worse, he couldn't do anything. But like, go back to that game he had against Green Bay, where they're just both sides are marching up and down the field. Right. He showed a lot of potential there when he actually gets some blocking. I just want the guy to be more of a leader. He just strikes me as this. He comes out to these post game press conferences and it's like listening to a fucking politician. He's all smiles and thank you and like just be a leader.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
He's the type of guy whose best game of the year like was against the Rams and it was a loss.
Yeah,
you know, he puts good fantasy stats up in shootouts, but a game that they need to win, he's 214 yards and 3 interceptions. You know,
yeah, that Bills game, and that was early in the season. It was like, what the hell is this?
Right. You scratch your head, you go, what was that?
Looked up his stats right now. They do look good. He had 30 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
Yeah, he's a good fantasy quarterback, but for some reason, it's just like
70% on the fringes
of the bell curve. You need to perform better. It's like, you know, he's just like, when he's never had a chance. And once teams
started scheming, like, okay, Thielen's burning everybody. Let's kind of double up both Thielen and Diggs. They didn't have anything. They just would not get Rudolph involved. And they just didn't really have a consistent third receiver. So hopefully somebody's going to emerge this year. It sure as hell isn't Laquon Treadwell. No, just go away.
One more sports question. How jealous were you, like, you're a Wild fan. How jealous were you of guys like us that got the Vegas Golden Knights and an expansion team going to the Stanley Cup playoffs in 1 year?
You know, I was rooting for you guys until the finals. And then I'm like, nope, this has gone too far. Yeah, why? I just couldn't do it because it was like, you guys need
it wouldn't have been fair, right? It wouldn't have been like, you just say, wait a minute, they're cheating, right? It's like, what did they do, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, nothing against the Vegas, but it was just like, you guys have had enough success for your first season. I'm happy for you, but I'm not cheering for you.
Yeah, it was awesome because I went to like 8 games last year, and every game I went to, I was like, you know, even like when the season started, when I was watching them on TV, I'm like, they very rarely look like the second best team on the ice each night. You know, they're fast and they got like a lot of good. I was like, you know, we kind of knew kind of early they were going to be good, but that was just like, that was the most fun in my lifetime I've ever had following a season.
It
was just so cool that we were in the middle of like an incredible story that could have ended with an unbelievable finish, you know, but the journey through the story as it was being told was just an unbelievable experience.
Plus, the fact in a city that doesn't have any sports and now everybody's talking about hockey, you know what I'm saying? Because it sucks coming from Atlanta, where he grew up, right, where they got the Hawks and the motherfucking Falcons and the Bulldogs, you know, and you're always talking about something to come to Vegas and there's nothing to talk about, you know?
We talk about everything. You talk about gambling. You know, but this is the first time we were talking
sports way, but sports team. You know, it's cool to follow a sports team and have somebody to talk about it with and go to a game with and shit, you know?
Conan, you fired up about the Bruins?
Of course. You know, I'm a longtime Bruins fan. We've talked about that for many, many years. Yeah. As are you.
Yeah, the North Stars left town. I didn't have a team. That became my team. And so, it works out because the Wild are in a different conference. And so I definitely still have my Bruins hoodie, and I still catch as many games as I can. I'm fired up. I think they're a really good team. They just happen to be in the same division as Tampa.
Well, thank God they don't have to. I mean, they're probably going to have to play until the third series. And they can – and I'm – you know, the Tampa Bay can run it. If this bum Bobrovsky can have a good series, because he always stinks the playoffs. If he has one good playoff series, like if he just has that stretch, like he's maybe where he has 2-3 shutouts, and I don't know. They can get beat, but who knows? But they look like monsters. I didn't realize they broke the NFL. They tied the NHL record for the most wins. It's like a generation team. They're like one of the best teams of all time.
Yeah,
you know? So I didn't even realize it because it's Tampa. You know, they don't get no play on ESPN or nothing or anything. You know, so and we're in the West Coast out of here, so it's like Jesus.
Well, hopefully Tuukka Rask will get hot and keep us all the way to the finals. Give me where can we find you? What do you got going on? What do you want to plug? Where can people chop it up with you?
Sure, man. Absolutely. ProWrestling.net is my website. It's updated constantly, way too frequently. I do have a members component of that turns everything ad-free, and you get all of our audio content. But I want to sneak in a plug for my free weekly podcast, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. I just have various guests on. Conan has been a guest on the show. I'll have to get Disco on one of these days. Recently had Eric Bischoff on, had PCO on. List goes on and on of people who have joined me on the show. Just do a search for Pro Wrestling Boom on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe. I'd appreciate it. And let me know you heard about it here.
Yeah, man. If you want to chop it up on Minnesota sports, too, he's a big fan of all Minnesota sports. We go way back over 20 years. Good friend, good guy. And I want to thank you, Jason, for being on Keeping It 100. Boom.
Awesome, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your time, brother. Appreciate it.
No problem, Jason.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.